Blog Talk Radio.
Located on the third floor. That's right, the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, as always, we got a show for you today. It is going to be good. It's going to be good. Today's topic of conversation, really hope y'all ready for this. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good. Five qualities of a small church that has a big impact. Five qualities of a small church that has a big impact. That's today's conversation, y'all. It's Missional Monday. We're always talking about how churches can do outreach. That's what missional means. Missional meaning going out, being a missional church, being more concerned about what goes on outside the church than what goes on inside the church. I believe that should be the focus of most churches. He didn't send us here to have us just going after the folk that's already in the church. He sent us here to go out and find the unchurched. And I understand there's some unchurched folk in the church, but guess what? If you've been in church all your life, you may want to rethink some things and start checking on your own relationship with the Father. Amen. Anyway, y'all, we got a great show for you today. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, and I'm in the studio by myself. My brother Cornelius Parks, Pastor Parks, had another engagement this morning, which is why he couldn't be here. Definitely want to keep him in our prayers as he goes forward with some things that he needed to do. Amen. Amen. Did I just do what I think I did? Amen. Yeah, I did. Anyway, but we're going to keep the show going. As always, if you're already listening on the line, let me give you the reason how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, you can find us. You can tweet the show. Tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to email us, email the show. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to follow us, absolutely. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. That way. Amen. Amen. Like, I just heard a whole bunch of echoing and stuff going on. Don't know what that was. Also, Also, the live streams are up and running. The live streams are up and running. That's Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. Facebook, Facebook Live. Facebook Live is almost up and running. But you can find us right there, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We would love to hear from you all that way. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Do a simple search. Google us. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. So, hey, y'all, we got a good show. It's about to be good. We're about to have some fun. Hopefully, y'all get ready. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. It should be good, man. I'm excited about it. Y'all get ready, man. TTLO. Peace.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. We are back. And yeah, Facebook Live. There we go. Now we're kicking. Facebook Live is up and running. Everything is everything. Look here, y'all. It's good. So look, as always, man, let me say this real quick. Big shout out to Marcy Stores Wilson for that message on yesterday. Let me say that again. Big shout out to Marcy Stores Wilson. You know, I love good preaching. I do. I love good preaching, and I don't think there's anything. And I love preachers who know how to take the word of God and illustrate that thing, man, and just make it make good sense. And she did that yesterday when she started talking about the essence of a woman. That was the sermon on yesterday. The essence of a woman. She spoke on that thing, man. So big shout out to her. And as you just said, this was her second year. Doing our Women's Day program. This is her second year, and she just did an awesome job. So I just wanted to make sure that I let her know, and I wanted to say that publicly to any and everybody that could hear she did an awesome job. So just grateful to God for that and her powerful ministry. And again, it was just good. It was just good. So she talked about, I want to share some of it with you just real quick. She talked about on yesterday, she talked about how she gave 3 points about the essence of a woman yesterday. It was amazing, man. She gave 3 quick points, and I just want to share some of them with you briefly. This is what she said. The first one was she said, come on, let me get this up. She said, one, a godly women produce. That's what she said. That was the first thing she said. Godly women produce. And she talked about how anything that's living ought to produce something. You ought to be able to tell a woman by the fruit she produces. That doesn't mean having kids. But she talks about the fruit you produce, the people who you bring up around you, the influence you have on the people around you. If the only people, you know, if nobody wants to be around you, if you find yourself always in bad situations, you need to check your fruit. You know, as a deacon here at the church, you says all the time, you need to be fruit inspector. That's one of the things, but she talked about that, man. So she said she always produce. Then she said, number two, she says, godly women empower one another. You should be empowering one another, not tearing one another down. That was good, man. That was good. She talked about that thing. She said you ought to be empowering one another and not tearing each other down. And then she used a great analogy. She said, don't come to me with mess, telling me about what somebody said. She said, the minute you come to me, she says, a godly woman will stop you in your conversation and say, have you prayed for him? I don't want to hear the rest of the story. Have you prayed for him? See, that's what a godly woman does. And I love that. And that applies to men and women. It applies to men and women. It was good, man. She blessed us. And then she closed it out. She says, godly women have to be rooted. You have to be rooted in something. Like you have to have a strong foundation in who you are. So it was good, man. I was blessed by a lot of women preachers. Some women preachers really try to sound like a man when they're preaching, and I think it really does them a disservice, because all that extra hollering and yelling and all of that it takes away from your message. Marcy did an excellent job, and I know, and I say the same thing. I've listened to quite a few, just like my twin Angela Johnson. She does an amazing job ministering. You don't hear a lot of, I'm not saying don't get excited, but you don't have to try to sound like a man, and neither one of them do that. They just preach, they talk, and yeah, they get a little excited here and there, but the message doesn't get lost. And a lot of times we spend so much time, and I think that's one of the things that all women get labeled with, that bad title of trying to sound like a man, and I really think it takes away from the message. But in this case, Marcy Storrs, man, she did just an amazing job, man. So I really want to give her just her kudos on that. It was just good. It was just really good. So she asked me at the end of the service. She was like, she said, so when you gonna have me on your show? I said, whenever. I said, whenever you ready. That's what I told her. I said, whenever you ready. So it was good, man. It was real good. So yeah, I'm glad of that. It was good. I wish we had. The capability here at my church to do live broadcast and all that stuff, because that's a message. Because that's a message I think other women would have been empowered to hear. Angela, what you say? I appreciate you for defining your point. I like preaching, living for. Yeah, I had to clean it up because I didn't want nobody saying he's saying women can't preach. No, that's not what I said. I think what makes good women preachers stand out is that they don't try to sound like other people. I'm not saying don't hoot. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying women have a way of delivering a message that's different, and that's the thing that should be highlighted. I don't think you should try to. I don't think women preachers and pastors should try to lower their femininity to get their word across. You know, I don't think any woman preacher should have to lower or take away from her femininity to preach. You ain't got to come up there and, you know, come up there with no makeup on and you know, all of this, you know, sackcloth and ashes to try to make yourself look less than who you are. Be who you are. That's what comes across. That's what comes across. People want to see you for who you are. I don't, you know, your weave or lack of weave, all that stuff don't matter to me. You know, if give God your best. If you give your job your best on Monday, then come to church with your best too. So I think that's a really bad misconception. That's a really bad misconception for women preachers. And I think it's a men driven thing, because it's men who put that stigma out there. It's men who put that stigma out there, who says that they want it. You know, they want cover up all. You know, take your earrings off and don't do this and come to church like this way and that way. And that's foolishness. That's foolishness. I think there are some powerful women's ministry. I think women have a powerful ministry. I think women pastors and women preachers have a place in this in ministry. And I think when you are preaching the unadulterated truth of God's word, it don't matter your gender. It does not matter whether you are male or female. So I again, man, just, you know, to those women that I know personally that preach, a good friend of mine, Pastor Carol Turner over here on the west side of Chicago. Pastor Carol Turner, I can't wait. Our schedules are really conflicting right now, but I can't wait to have her on our show, because she's going to have some stories for you. Because Pastor Carol Turner was the first person ever, almost 19 years ago, 18 years ago, 18 years ago, to tell me I was going to preach when I had no thought about it, no thought about it at all. She was the person to tell me that 18 years ago. Yeah. So I can't wait to have her on the show. So for that cause alone, she garnered my respect even before I ever heard her preach. And she was the first person I thought of when I accepted my call to ministry some years back. But Pastor Carol Turner, Pastor and my twin Angela Johnson, and then Lady Marcy Stores, Marcy Stores Wilson. I mean, not cheat her husband out of her last name. I just thought it was an amazing time on yesterday, man. And then big shout outs to the KBC. Big shout out to the KBC women's choir yesterday. Big shout out to y'all. Y'all showed out on yesterday. I mean for real. Big shout out to them, man. They showed out big time yesterday, and it was just a good time, man. It was a good time. So again, I wish we had a way of recording it and we would have been able to share it with you all, but that's not the case yet. We're going to get it together, though. We're going to get it together. But it was, man. It was a good time in the Lord. And we really, 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 really enjoyed it. It was just an amazing, amazing time. So also, I want to give some. So if you missed it, I'm sorry. We didn't, I'm not big on. I would have loved to have did the whole Facebook Live thing. I just think it looks awkward for a preacher or minister to be in the pulpit. And, I was so tempted to turn my phone on and go live, but I'm like, that just looks bad. It's a bad look. Y'all in the audience doing it, that's one thing, but it just looks bad. It just looks weird. So it just looks weird to to do it. I would have did it, though. I see she just popped on. What's going on, Marcy Stores Wilson? I'm just giving you some kudos for yesterday. It was amazing. It was a good time in the Lord. And, yeah, definitely, let me put it to you this way. When you preach that well, you can preach to a room full of men and or women. That's when you know your message is on point. Even though it was a message that was geared towards women, it was a message that also hit men, because all of those same things applied to men. What are you producing? Who are you empowering? Are you empowering one another? And then last but not least, are you rooted? So, it was good, man. It was good. I enjoyed that thing yesterday. She blessed me. And like I said, and shout out again to that KBC Women's Day Choir. Y'all were good, man. Y'all, it was a good time. It was a good time in the Lord. It really was. It really was. So I just wanted to say that. I had to make sure I get that out early on. Cause folks always say, you don't say this and you don't say that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know what? Y'all don't watch the show enough to know what I say and what I don't say. So don't tell me what I don't say. Anyway. Amen. So don't tell me what I don't say. Also, big kudos to my little brother, Adam Dow. I heard his event was awesome on Saturday. He had the basketball tournament where they raised food and money for the hurricane. They got all you do is bring canned goods. That was the admission. Bring canned goods. So I talked to him yesterday after church. They did an amazing job out there in Westchester. And now they're just about trying to figure out how they're going to get all the canned goods and food and everything down to either Florida or Houston, wherever they were sending the stuff to. But big shout out to him and his organization, for what they did, man. So I'm proud of him. I'm glad to see. It's good. I like to see young brothers doing stuff, man. And when you have people like that, they need a platform, and you need to constantly give them platforms. When you have that type of thinking and mindset, people like that need to have a platform for it. So I think that's an amazing, amazing thing, man. Young brother, man. I think he was 30, 31 years old, something like that. So, again, big shout out to him and that organization. So, it was good, man. It was just a good time. I'm happy, man. I'm good. I'm excited. You know what? I was a little tired because I didn't sleep well yesterday. I don't know. I had a I felt like I had a headache was coming, and I didn't sleep real well. And then so I woke up again, and it was just up and down all night. And so, you know, it was just it was a little rough. But I'm good, man. You know what? I ain't gonna complain because God is awesome. He really is. You know, and I think about it. You know, you want to complain, you want to sit back and say, you know what, I'm done, I'm tired, and all this stuff. But then you look at other people's situations, man, and I think about all the stuff that's happening in Florida and in Houston and all these other places and all the islands out in the Caribbean and everything. And it's like, what do you really got to complain about? Like, it's like, you know, it makes you feel like your complaint ain't that glad. It ain't that bad when you think about other people's situation. You know, when you think about other, you know, other people's issues, it's really not as your stuff ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? When you think about what's going on, and then now I was watching the news this morning. I was sad to see. I thought these things would pass away, but now they're saying Hurricane, what is it, Maria? Is that her name? Good Lord. I mean, they just going down the line. Hurricane Maria is now about on its way to Puerto Rico, literally. And by the time it hits Puerto Rico, it's going to be another Category 4 hurricane. So we definitely keep the Caribbean in our prayers, man. Puerto Rico just got hit. They haven't even started. They're barely in the process of starting the cleanup process. And now this other hurricane may hit landfall in 2 days. So I'm not, man, you know, I'm not one to question what God does and what he allows. But my God, it's one of those things where you just have to start taking a look around you and just making sure you got your stuff in order. You know what I'm saying? We spend a whole lot of time with a lot of pomp and circumstance and all that stuff and circumstance and all that. But how much time are we actually spending building relationships? You know, like Sister Storrs Wilson said yesterday about empowering one another. You know, we spend so much time tearing each other down in the church and attacking this church. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that need to be checked. Let me start right there. Don't think we talking about going soft on people. There are some people, some organizations that need to be checked. And I don't think we should just let them get by off of their lack of presence. I don't believe that's something we should do. However, what I do believe this, and I say this wholeheartedly, I think there's going to come a time where I think what's happening right now is that as the Bible says, the wheat is being separated from the tare. And that's why some people, a lot of exposure is going on right now. There's a lot of things coming to pass. A lot of stuff is being brought to the light because of people's lack of involvement. You've been talking about doing things for years, but now that the spotlight is on you, the light is showing a little bit something different. You know, and that's not saying people are perfect, because none of us are. None of us are, absolutely not. But it's one thing when you put this one thing out there, but then over here, you know, you could care less about other people. You could care less about somebody's situation. You could care less about what's happening in your community, even though you say a whole lot, but you never show up at anything. So I think it's amazing, man. I really do. Pastor Ledbetter, what's going on? Ledbetter III, what's happening, sir? I see y'all on here, man. Let me speak to y'all real quick on Facebook. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I know I done missed some of y'all. Evangelist Dingwall, God bless you. Brittany Francis, LaCherie Knox, Angela Johnson, I see you. Charlene P., Kimberly Stark. I love reading new names. I love my people who watch all the time. These new names bless me. Charlene P., Kimberly Stark, Patricia Bell, Kathleen Savon down from Georgia. What's going on? Andre Wilcox, Parker. What's up, sir? Wilcox in the house. Y'all don't know about that. Wilcox, K-Town, low end. Tawana Nichelle Johnson, what's happening? Patrick Pastor Purcell, I see you. Shauna Simpson, welcome back. How you doing? Praying for your sis. Cindy Clark, what's happening? I think Cindy's down in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Marcy Storrs Wilson, already spoke to her. God bless you. Yvette Quinones. Lord, let me try to pronounce this name. Quinetta Quinetta Kager Parks. Quinetta. I think I got your name right. I hope I said that right. Quinetta. I think it's Quinetta. Quinetta Parks, God bless you. Shelly Harris, God bless you. Angela Adams, God bless you. Robin Nichols, God bless you. Who else? Who? Good Lord. Y'all coming on in. Fred Thomas Owens, God bless you. Ernest F. Ledbetter, Pastor, what's happening, man? Small churches have the best. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. We're going to talk about it. I wish I had known your boy Parks wasn't going to be here. You should have came in. You should have slid in, man. You could have been a pinch hitter. Kathleen Savon, what's going on? Dr. Tanisha Williams. Well, God bless you. All right. Deborah Taylor Holmes, Washington. Amen. Look out. Derek Harris, Pastor Julie Norwood. Y'all just coming on in. Y'all just amazing. I done got happy in here. Look here. See, this is what gives me energy. This right here. It just, you know, I love it. I do. I really do, man. Y'all bless me. I think that there is really a need at this time for us to build a more close-knit environment, for us to rebuild our connections with our sister churches. I think it's time for pastors and preachers as well. You can't just keep putting it off on pastors because let me say it this way. Church leaders. I'm not going to just put it because it's easy to pick on the pastor. It really is. O'Reilly Junction, Kansas. I'm sorry. Kansas. I think. Thank you, Angela. Thank you. I think it's time that you know, we get to a point where as church leaders, we get outside of the church and start connecting with our neighbor churches. What's stopping us from connecting with our neighbor churches? Seriously. I mean, if you really believe what God has for you is for you, and you really believe God gonna send whatever members to your church so that they can learn under your leadership and everything else, then it shouldn't matter whether or not you have a – you ought to want to go out and find out what the church next door to you is doing. I think it's sad, man, when you have so many churches and that you don't speak. That you don't talk to one another. That you don't have any type of communication with each other. I just think that's so sad. It's a sad indictment on our church, man. It really is. It's a sad day in the church where we don't have any type of relationships with the churches to the left, the right of us. And I'm talking in some instances they're walking distances. I'm talking less than a half a mile. That means four blocks. In some instances, we got churches right across the street from each other, right next door. Yeah, some of y'all even share a common wall. Oh my God, we share a common wall with each other, but don't have no communication. But yet, when we come in, we see each other. When we leave church, we see each other. When we trying to find a parking place in front of the church, we see each other. It's like where. Where is the unity at amongst the church? I'm just wondering where is it at? Kathleen says networking. Absolutely. And see, here is the deal. We'll watch this. And I know this is conference season. We just ended. I believe are we in the middle or the end of conference season? And all these people having their conventions and, you know, all this stuff is convention season. We'll go to the convention and be with folks who are in our convention. We will fly all over the country. We'll go to Dallas. We'll go to Ohio. We'll go here. We'll go there. We'll go to all these places because they're in our convention. But we won't go next door and knock on the door and say, Pastor, I'm Pastor so-and-so, or Preacher, I'm Preacher so-and-so. How you doing, man? I'm in this community. You in this community. Let's retake this community. Let's me and you do something in this community. Why does that not happen? Can any of y'all help me? Seriously, can any of y'all help me? I know I got preachers and pastors on the line. Can any of y'all help me? You're absolutely right, Cindy Clark. We're supposed to be one body. Supposed to be. But why won't we connect with each other? And what? Because here's the deal. What we'll find is, but instead of trying to connect with each other, we keep trying to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just say, hey, you know what? this church might have an idea. You might have the facility. Why not just come together? I'm not saying shut your church down. I'm not telling nobody. Look, if you believe God called you to pastor, who am I to tell you he didn't? I'm not telling you to shut your church down. What I'm saying is to be more effective in the community, why not partner up with another organization, with another church? I'm not saying y'all don't still go have your worship service on Sunday. I'm not telling you to let your offering come to somebody else's church. I understand the financial implications of it. But what I am saying, yes, I corrected the word. I heard myself, implications. What you ain't going to get me. What I am saying is that when it comes to working in the community and having a greater effect, why not partner up? Why not partner up and say, hey, you know what? There's too much violence. Like over this weekend, there were what 10 shootings? 10 shootings over the weekend, I believe. And all of these shootings happen in places where there's a church less than a half a mile away from where the shooting is. All of the shootings this weekend, there's a church at least a half a mile away. That means a 4-block radius. There is a church near where the shootings took place. Now help me understand why we as churches can't come together. Yeah, too many fellowships. That's where people are so busy with their own commitments. You're absolutely right, Dr. Williams. You're absolutely right. And ain't nothing wrong with fellowshipping. We're not knocking. I'm not knocking fellowshipping. But what I'm saying is we do enough eating in the church. And I've said this. I said this to people the other day. We do enough eating in the church. So, that's fine. But after you get done eating and all of that, what are you doing to bring to compel people to come? I just believe here I am here in the city of Chicago. I just believe that if churches could just come together for a moment, that the impact would be instant. Seriously, if churches could put aside denominations, put aside, you know, we baptize in Jesus, you baptize in Father, Son, and Holy, put all that aside. And say, hey, you know what? I'm tired of burying people. I'm tired of going to funerals. I'm tired of seeing my people on this. I'm tired of seeing this and that and everything else. Why not just say, you know what? You love God just like I do. You serve the same Lord I do. We both worship Jesus. We both worship the Father. We both believe in the Holy Spirit. That right there, that's the foundation. Everything else has no meaning whatsoever. If we could focus on that, and then go out into the community. You know the impact we could really have in the community? And I mean, we could change things in a minute. But right now, because we are so spread out, we have watered down what the gospel should look like. I didn't say sound like. I said what it should look like. Because they shouldn't just be able to hear what we say. They should be able to see what we say. I said this the other day. The church is tired of hearing sermons. They ought to see sermons now. They ought to see some living sermons. There ought to be some action behind what it is you claim to be talking about. And they're not seeing that. That's why they're not flocking back to the church. That's why they're not knocking on the door to get in and say, hey, let us in this place. You know what I love? There was this movie that came out. There was this movie that came out a few years ago. It was a really bad movie. It was a really bad movie. It was the redo of Noah's Ark. I think it was just called Noah. It was with who was the guy that played in the movie Noah? I forget the actor's name. Was it Gil? Is it the same dude from Gladiator? Was it the same dude from Gladiator that played Noah? I can't remember. Y'all help me out. Somebody, Tanya, where you at? Help me out. But the Noah movie, y'all know the one. It was a really bad movie. It was a bad movie. But I watched it because I wanted to see, you know, how close they was going, you know, stick to the Bible and all other kind of stuff. But in the movie, the way it was portrayed in the movie, I'm not talking scripture. I'm talking movie. The way it was portrayed in the movie was, of course, Noah went around telling people, hey, it's going to rain, it's going to flood, blah, 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 all that stuff. And nobody believed him. They thought he was crazy and all that stuff. And then he started building this ark and everything else. And then, you know, he built the ark. And then all of a sudden, when the first drop of water hit, the first drop of water hit, all of a sudden people started running toward the ark. Y'all don't miss this. I got a point here. People started running when they felt calamity started happening. So they started running to the one place where they thought they could have some salvation. Uh-oh. Because, see, they saw this structure, and they said, if we could get on this thing, we can make it too. Because Noah had been saying all along, hey, it's about the flood. Y'all need to come on and come on. And they chose not to in the movie. So in the movie, they as he was coming, they started trying to get on. They jumped on the boat. They was trying to hang on to the side. All these things out because they thought this was a place of salvation. With all the calamity going on in the world now, know the earth is not flooding with water, but it is flooding with violence. You would think that the church would represent the ark and that people would be flocking and running, trying to get into it. Oh my God, I just helped somebody. But because of the appearance that the church has in communities, instead of them running towards the church, they're running from the church. Oh my God, help me, Holy Ghost. They're not running to us. And the reason they're not running to us is because of the image that we're putting out there. Because there's this image of we're just about self. There is this image that we don't care about the community. There is this image that all we want to do is show up in our nice suits and our nice dresses and our red bottom shoes and our church hats and shout and dance and then go home. That's the appearance that we give. Even though I know that's not our intent, that's the appearance that we give. But yet, as one of my sisters online just said, but there are hungry people right on our front door. There are starving people right on our front door. There are homeless people right on our doorsteps. And we treat them just like the man in the Bible. We step over them on our way to church. We ride right past them on our way to church. Or they walk right past your church and don't feel an instance of love as they're walking past. Because here's the deal. You know how you're in a neighborhood and you pull up in a certain neighborhood, and when you get out your car, you're like, wow, you feel safe. You feel confident. You feel like this is a really nice neighborhood. You feel like, man, this is kind of cool. I wouldn't mind living here. You know, you get that feeling. That's the same feeling people ought to have when they walk past your church. When they drive past your church, they ought to feel like, hey, this is a place that I should come. At least I should come and check out what's going on. But because of this image that's being portrayed, we keep hearing all these crazy stories about this preacher over here and this crazy preacher over there and all of this other stuff. And these folks are misleading people and all this other stuff. And then they see our lack of impact, our lack of concern in the community. Why would they come? Why would they come? I know I got the article we need to get to about the five qualities of a small church, but I think this has a lot to do with it. We haven't gotten to it yet, but I want us to think. Especially those of you who are in leadership. Those of you who are in leadership in your churches who have a voice. See, if you're a leader, you got a voice. See, lay people in the church don't have a voice. So those of you who carry all these different titles. I'm talking to y'all. Those of you with all these titles and degrees, whether you bought it or you earned it, however you got it, whether you bought it or you earned it, all of y'all with these degrees, you're the ones with the voice. I think we ought to start challenging each other. Because, see, if your church was involved in community, watch this. And even you have churches that are involved in the community. I want to talk to you, too, because if you're involved and the church next door to you is not, you ought to find out why. I think it's your job to go knock on that pastor's door and say, hey, brother pastor, we out here every week. Can I ask you a question? Do you think it's not necessary that you come out here with me? Do you think we could win more souls together than we can apart? I'm just asking questions, y'all. I'm asking questions. And because I truly believe that there could be a turnaround. Felicia Martin says that would totally change the statement. My church is the best church in the world. Work together. We are the church. My God, you're right. Because we good to say my church is the best church in the world. Russell Crowe, Leslie. Russell Wilson is the football player. But but you helped me out with the first name. Thank you. But we gotta go with that, man. Seriously. How much better could we be as a church if we went out and started, you know? Felicia says, is that the image or appearance, or is it the truth? Yeah, in some cases, you're right. It is the truth. Some churches are only inwardly focused, and it's a bad state of affairs. It's a bad state of affairs when churches are just that inwardly focused. I have no problem with you celebrating your accomplishments in the church. I think people think I have an issue with church programs. And I want to clear something up. It's not that I have an issue with church programs. I have an issue when all you do well is church programs. You get what I'm saying? I don't have an issue with your church program. I don't have an issue with your men's day, your women's day, your anniversary, your pastoral anniversary, your choir anniversary. I don't have an issue with any of that. My issue is that all you do is your whole church calendar. Every major event on your church calendar has to do with what happens inside your church. Then I got a problem with you. If I can look at your church calendar and I don't see one event out of the 10, 15, 20 that's listed, and ain't now one of them got nothing to do with helping or going out and compelling other people to come in, then I really want to question your calendar. What was your agenda for the year? Like, what was your theme for the year? What was your theme for that year? Because you can tell a lot about a church with its theme for the year, with its theme. You know, every church has a theme. A lot of churches do themes every year, and you can tell a lot by the theme. Because, see, we like to preach unity, but are we talking unity only in the church or unity period? Oh, my God, bless y'all for coming on in. Angela Johnson said, well, maybe that's where we messed up. We need to teach and minister Jesus that folks will have relationship with God. You ain't got to come to my church. From that, they'll need the church to add more to their lives. God teach me how to make sure that I'm a leader that directs folks to the Lord, to stability in him. And therefore, there's a place in the church. Absolutely. And Dr. Williams, with Tanisha Williams, you're absolutely right. There are some ministries that are actually working and helping in the community. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And unfortunately, they don't get the light shined on them like they should. You're absolutely right. There are quite a few. Felicia says, I don't have an issue with it. Maybe I missed some. Y'all having side conversations on this broadcast. I can't keep up. She says, I'm stuck. As a longtime church member, you have been saved for over 50 years. How many people have you brought to Christ? Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. I ask people that all the time. You've been in church, you've been in church 45, 50 years. How many people have you truly brought to Christ? Watch this. And I'll take it a step further, Felicia. How many people have you brought to Christ that ain't in your family? You see what I'm saying? Because, see, family, you know, they, if they're your kids, you're making them go to church. And that ain't bringing them to Christ. That's bringing them to church. There's a difference between bringing me to church than bringing me to Christ. Uh-oh. See, that's a whole nother show. But there is a difference. I mean, you know, come on. There's a difference from bringing folk to church and bringing them to Christ and introducing them to Christ. And you can't, and it's a sad indictment of discipleship when you've been in church for 35 years and there ain't five people you can say you introduced them to the Lord. You ain't got five people you can name that you personally introduced to the Lord. Now, you can say, well, I invited 35, 45, 50 people to my church. No. I said introduce them to the Lord, meaning, hey, there's this man named Jesus. This is what he did for me. This is why I am where I am today, only by the grace of God. Have you told that story to anybody outside of the four walls of your house? Because if you've been in church 30, 35 years and you haven't done that, I'm sorry, you're just a church member. You have no relationship. That's you have no relationship with God, none whatsoever. You're just somebody that happens to be a member of a church. And that's all that is. Oh, my God. Hey, y'all, look, we're going to take a quick break. I need some water. It done got a little, my throat done got a little raspy here. But we're going to take a quick break. I thank y'all, man. If you haven't hit the share button, invite your people, invite your friends. It's only finna get better. It's only finna get better. It is Missional Monday, y'all. It's Taking the Limits Off Radio. And we going to be right back. Y'all stay blessed, man. Hey, look, if you want to call in, be a part of the show, you want to email the show, look, some of y'all might want to be on the show. Some of y'all are local. If you're a pastor, preacher, author, writer, actor, dancer, well, not all y'all dancers, because some of y'all don't dance for the Lord, but you know. But if you have something, community activist, you know, whatever it is, you have a story you want to share that you think will be positive and uplift people, you're welcome in the studio. Email the show, Taking the Limits Off. Where's my producer at? Tanya, put the email address in the comments up there. Email the show. Put it to attention. LaTanya Melton, my producer, she'll contact you. We'll set up a time to have you sitting right here. I got plenty of seats in here. I got plenty of seats. And I got about 4 or 5 microphones. So there's plenty of room. You're welcome to come on and tell us your story. Now, before you come on, I'm going to check you out now. I need to be a throat inspector. I got to check you out to make sure you're legit. I can't have just, you know, any and everybody coming in here being crazy because, you know, I have to, all that good stuff. Anyway, y'all, I got to take a break. Won't be no more than 30 seconds. I'm just running over here to this refrigerator to get me some water. Anyway, y'all stay blessed, man. Be right back. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Ooh, I'm back. Man, that 30 seconds go quick, don't it? Good Lord. Now, you see what I'm saying? Now, if I was trying to hold my breath for 30 seconds, it would have felt like an eternity. But just going, you know, literally, that was 30 seconds. That was the quickest 30 seconds. I'll have to check the time on that. Anyway, y'all, we are back. It's Missional Monday. We're having a good time, good conversation. Y'all having all kind of good. oh, my God. What'd you say? Angela says, Dana, but you are called to galvanize. You lead and leaders will follow. Do some drive-bys. teach on this stuff. Lastly, we're in Villa Park. Our situation is totally different. I've accepted these folks are going to support, but maybe they're not joined. Predominantly Caucasian, but I'm good with that. Yeah. You know what, though, Angela? Here's the deal, though. I'm gonna say this for you, and this is just for my twin. So the rest of y'all, close y'all ears for a minute. I'm just going to talk to Angela. Okay, close y'all ears. Y'all ready? Okay. Even though your church is in the suburbs, I love the setting of where your church is because you are in an area, even though an area that's not inundated with the same violence and all the stuff that's going on here in the city, you're still in an area that's reachable, and you're in an area that people would come to if they knew where you were and if they knew more about the situation. I know just from sitting there that, you know, I've never heard Pastor Rob teach. I heard him speak a few minutes, and I know spirit, no spirit. Let me put it that way. And I know you enough to understand that people are going to be taught if they come to your church. I think one of the things is that we've gotten so inundated with church has to look a certain way, and church has to church needs to meet all these criterias. And if you're being told, first of all, my only criteria for church is this: I need you to be committed to excellence. No, rewind that. I need you to make sure you teach the word. And then I need you to be committed to excellence. When I say committed to excellence, that means what? Start on time. I'm talking to all y'all now. Start on time. I'm sorry. I don't care what happened. Start on time. If you ain't got number one deacon and one usher and everybody else is there, start on time. I don't care if you got 8 folks on your praise team and 2 of them show up, start on time. If you got a 30-piece choir and only 8 of them are in the choir stand, start on time. That's my – the excellence is a must. It is an absolute must. Because watch this. If you show excellence, it will then – that excellence will – it goes downhill. Everybody will say, well, look, I can't afford to be late. Because if I'm late, I might miss something. Oh, come on now. If I'm late, I might miss something. It's like when you know when you buy tickets to a play, you know, plays start on time. They do. They start on time. When you go to a play, they start on time. They give you a signal. You know, the lights flick a little bit saying, hey, you got about 3-4 minutes before the curtain comes in and we about to, you know, we about to start. And then they start on time. Why? Because they're respectful that people have paid their money. And they respect people's time. Church also needs to do the same thing, respect people's time. And I think if no matter where your church is, whether you have a storefront church or a large church, if you preach God's word and teach it with excellence, and then you put on you give a program, a worship service that's done in excellence, I think you'll see the fruit of your labor. So that's for anybody. Now, I'm not saying you have to have this rigid program and, you know, we have to do this step one and then step two, we're going to do this. And then the third part of the service we do. I'm not talking about all that. I'm just talking about doing it in excellence. That's all. That's just me. That's my pet peeve. That's all. It's just. Okay. Yeah, he is a stand. We started late. What? Oh God. Anyway, we're gonna jump right into today's conversation. I'm not gonna even talk about. I'm gonna wait for my brother to get back. And actually, for Apostle David Rogers, I'm gonna have him in. Too. We want to talk about a little bit more this Andrew Holmes, this community activist, and this whole Kanika Jenkins situation. The young lady who was found in the freezer. More information has come out about that. I really don't want to get back into it today. I'll wait to talk about it on Wednesday's show. It's just a little, you know, my spirit ain't right today to talk about that because I have a lot that I really want to say, but I'm gonna let it go for today because I feel myself might say something real wrong and get myself in trouble. So. Y'all know I got peoples watching and listening. I can't say, you know. You know how they had an FCC for regular radio? See, internet radio is not FCC regulated. Like, literally, if I was a different kind of show, I could cuss and use all type of nasty language and all that stuff because it's not FCC regulated. They don't have none of that. But, see, I'm not FCC regulated, but I am PCC regulated. Politically correct. No, I'm just being funny. But I'm gonna let it go. I'm gonna let it go for today. I'll definitely talk about it on Wednesday. I'll definitely talk about that. So let's move. Let's keep it going. Today's conversation, man. I'm excited about it. Actually, it's gonna be good, man. 5 qualities of small church that has big impact. 5 qualities of small churches. That have big impacts. That's the conversation that we're going to have today. Let's just jump right into it. Let me get this open on this other computer over here so I can follow along myself. That would be real nice if I could follow along on this myself. Okay. Where is the article? I done lost the doggone article. Y'all pray for me over here. I got too much going on. It's like, well, I'm normally not really discombobulated right now, but for some reason, there we go. All right. Here we go. The writing on this is very small. Can we enlarge? Lord, can you enlarge the territory of this here writing on this screen? Because I can't see. There we go. All right. This is what the writer said. This article was written earlier this week. It's entitled 5 Qualities of a Small Church That Has a Big Impact. 5 Qualities of a Small Church that has a big impact. This is what, let me make sure I turn the chat on. The chat room is open too on Ustream for all my people watching on Ustream. I forget to speak to y'all sometimes. I am so sorry, Ustream. I get caught up in having to start talking and my Ustream people see it. Okay, let me get y'all. For some of y'all that's new to the show is broadcast on three different mediums, right? The show is broadcast. The main broadcast is blogtalkradio.com. That's strictly the audio. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/takinglimitsoffradio. That's where the show is broadcast at. That's the main show. That's what, you know, quote unquote, pays the bills, if you want to say that that way. But that's the show, blogtalkradio.com, right? Then we added the Facebook Live feature. That's this camera right here. Hey, y'all, how y'all doing over there, right? And then this camera right here, one right in front of me, this one over here is Ustream. So we're also on Ustream as well. And we weren't actually supposed to move to YouTube, but that's Damon's fault, nobody else's, because I haven't just had the time to do the stuff that was needed to get it done. But that's where we are. So I have to make sure that I speak to all of our listeners. I don't want to not talk to nobody and miss the conversation, because sometimes they'll be sending me stuff on Ustream side, and I'm stuck over here on the Facebook side, and I don't recognize them people. And then I forget the email from the people who are listening to the show that can't watch the show. So they email the show, and then we got a chat box on the Blog Talk Radio side, too. So it's a lot. There's a lot of working factors. And thank the Lord for the best producer on the planet. That's all I'm going to say. Thank the Lord for the best producer on the planet. So there it is. So we're going to move on. We're going to keep it going. But today's topic of conversation, man, is good. Five qualities of a small church that has big impact. This is what the writer says. The writer says this. He says, the size of a church never limits the scope of God's power. I love that. The size of the church never limits the scope of God's power. He says, God does big things in small churches. The size of your church is not as important as what God wants to do through your church. Let me read that again. The size of your church is not as important as to what God wants to do through your church. Woo! My. Let's get this up here. So here we go. He says, here are four important questions for all pastors. Four important questions. Here we go. He says, is your church culture healthy? Y'all know I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. The difference between culture and atmosphere. Is your church culture healthy? The second one is the gospel being taught? Is the gospel being taught? Third one is there a vision for reaching people? Is this not what we just got through talking about? I ain't even read the article to y'all yet. Is this not what we just got through talking about? Is there a vision for reaching people? And then the fourth one, are lives being changed? Those are the questions you have to ask. These are major, 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 major issues. And you have to and answer them honestly. And this is to you, to you pastors that are online right now, you preachers that are online, you know, ask yourself these questions. Is your church culture healthy? Is the gospel being taught? Is there a vision for reaching people and our lives being changed? Let me help you. If you answered no or I don't know to either of those questions, then the next 30 minutes you need to spend right here with me. So here we go. Let's jump into it. The writer says this. He says, if yes, then keep doing what you're doing. He says, we all want our churches to grow larger, but I believe that ultimately the size of your church is up to God. He says, your job is to serve and lead well with all your heart and leave the rest to him. Amen. Let me fix this computer monitor so I can see this. Thank you so much. All right. There we go. All right. So then he says, I love the saying, work like it's up to you, and then pray like it's up to God. That's good. That's good right there. Work like it's up to you, but then pray like it's up to God. Oh, my God. Can I put that? That's going to be my Facebook post. Who gave it? I like to get credit for people's stuff if they actually, you know, because I don't want anybody saying I took. But, man, work like it's up to you and pray like it's up to God. And see, I think where we get ourselves in trouble is we just pray like it's up to God. We just pray like it's up to God, and then we don't want to do no work. But I ain't going to start on that. This is what the writer says. He says, leaders of small churches often get stuck in the struggles and difficulties of ministry. It's easy to get discouraged, but it's vital to focus on what is good. He says, I'm offering you five good things to lean into. He says, you don't need to work on all five at once. In fact, you could spend about 15 months working on them, 3 months each. This is good. This is good. So let's jump into it. Let's jump into it. Number one, so we're talking about five qualities of a small church that have big impact. Number one is uniqueness. Uniqueness. Yeah, uniqueness. I'm gonna post these in the comment section on Facebook and on Ustream. Matter of fact, let me open up the Ustream on this screen over here so that they get the same stuff that y'all get over there, and that way I can tag and post and share for everybody all at the same time. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's get this up and running. Okay, so this is what the writer says. The writer says this. Number one, uniqueness. He says, there is a reason that 68 or 92 or 130 people have chosen to attend your church over all the other choices in the area. He says, there's something that makes your church special. It's your secret sauce. It's a part of your unique DNA. And you need to know what it is and learn how to lean into it. He says, it might be a wonderful worship, a compassionate culture, or perhaps a particular ministry that God is blessing in your community. He says, you can't make it up or force it. You can't sit in a meeting and decide what you want it to be. It's already there. And you need to discover it and leverage it. It's a force of good in your city. So here it is right here. What's the unique thing about your church? See, it's easy to want to copy and do what other people do. Ooh, they got a good praise team. We need a good praise team. They got a good outreach ministry. We need a good outreach ministry. But no, no, no. You have to have your own uniqueness. Even twins. Come on, somebody. Even twins. Even identical twins. I mean, ones that got the everything. Even identical twins. There's something about them that makes them unique to stand out from the other. And I think a part of what our issues is we have too many churches trying to mirror one another. I'm not saying not mirror the gospel, because we got to teach the same gospel. But what's unique about your church? There needs to be something different, something that stands out, that fits where you are. Because, see, what they're doing down the street or on the other side of town might not fit where you are. So uniqueness is the first one, man. That's good. That's good. I love it. I love it. I love it. So that's good. Uniqueness. Let me put that in here for the people. I mean, here's the deal. It's just like in anything you do, even with athletes, you know, they always try to compare athletes, you know, in different eras. You know, they tried to compare Kobe to Michael. They try to compare Magic to LeBron. They try to compare. But each of them have their own unique gifts. Yes, they play a lot alike. But there's something that's different about them that drew a different crowd to them. And the same thing has to be about your church. There needs to be something different about your church. Ah, that's good, Felicia. That's good. Felicia Martin says, I think most people start out with that concept, but get lost in the notoriety and the popularity. Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of churches do start out with being wanting to be different, but get lost in the process of how. They get lost in the process of how. And you're absolutely right. I completely agree with you 100%. I agree with you. They get lost, and then they don't take the time to if God gave you a specific ministry, then that's what you should pour everything into, and then the other ministries won't suffer because watch this. God will then send you people to help run those other ministries. Woo. My. Angela Johnson says, nobody has a thumbprint. I'm God's original recipe. Our church has to be fully functional. Come back and shout a few hours on Sunday, but our church is open to the community. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that was number one. Number two says this. We're talking about the five qualities of a small church. The second quality is this. Agility. Agility, yes, the word agility, yes, we're talking about agility. The writer says this. He says, a big church is something like an aircraft carrier. It's powerful and can do much good, but it can't move or turn fast. it can get bogged down in the complexities of its own systems. He says, but a small church is more like a speedboat. It can turn fast on the dime. He says that's a powerful feature in a local church. You can make decisions faster and respond to the needs of people and your community more quickly. He says you can sense what God is up to and then jump in. It's easy to experiment with a new ministry for a short time. It gains traction, you keep going. If not, shut it down and ask God for the next endeavor. Don't be afraid to experiment, but do keep your list of ministries very short. You can't have 55 ministries and you got 20 people in the church that's on at least 50 of them. That means you got too many ministries. I'm going to take it a step further. If you got 20 ministries, but even on those 20, if 15 people are on 20 of the 20 ministries in your church, you got too many ministries. You are spreading yourself way too thin. You need to be agile enough to adjust. When something happens, you need to be able to jump out. The team that I'm a part of, I'm with this group of ministers on the west side as part of a response team, and there's not a lot of us. And the reason they said they wanted to keep it that way, was because they didn't want a whole a whole lot of people bogging down the process. So when something happens and something comes up, we can jump instantly and go without having to say, hey, let's do this, let's do that, let's call this person, let's go down the line. So we have a very, very short list of people on certain days who are available. And when something happens, all three of those people get called. And if only one makes it, only one makes it, but at least somebody makes it. You see what I'm saying? So that keeps it short, but we're able to move like that. And your church ought to be able to move the same way. You ought to be able to go in, and if you see something happening like you, there should be a response team at your church for your community. Somebody's house catches on fire, and y'all collecting clothes and everything else. You should have a team. You should already have clothes set up. Like, you know how you collect clothes? This, oh, my God, thank you, Holy Ghost. You know how we collect clothes for all these charities and stuff, and we never actually do the follow-through process, you know? But what if you started collecting clothes, right? And you did it like they do at Goodwill and other places, and you started collecting clothes. So say you had baby clothes, right? You got baby clothes, and then you had clothes for teenagers and or teens or preteens and or toddlers, preteens, teenagers, and adults, right? So you had this stuff and you had it shelved that way. So if something happened, and say you get something happens and you say, hey, a family of three just got burned out. You can instantly come down to your church because you got ready-made stuff, right? How old are the people in the family? Well, we got a husband and wife, and they got two kids. It's like, okay, how old are the kids? Well, one of them is a newborn, and the other one is 12 years old. Okay, we got clothes, and you already got them packed. Now you can instantly move same day, same night. You can show up at the house and say, look, you know what? My name is so-and-so. I'm from such and such church. We just want to drop these clothes off to you and your family. And, you know, I know if you have the means, you know, gift cards go a long way. You know, here's a couple gift cards. This will pay for y'all a couple of nights at a hotel. And here are some clothes and some toiletries. And here you go. And you might not be able to do nothing else. You can't pay for a week at the hotel. That's outside of what you can do. But you can give a gift card. They can put them up at the Red Roof Inn for a couple of nights. I mean, come on now. I'm just saying. And here's some clothes you can change into. And here's some toiletries and a toothbrush and a brush and a comb and some curlers and some, you know what I'm saying? That stuff works, man. That's impact. That's being able to move on the dime. That's real. Oh, my God. I just, what time is it that I said this? Y'all know my mind is bad. What time is it? It's 1:09. 1:09. It's 1:09, and I had to go back and because I go back and listen to the show so I can hear what I say for myself because stuff just comes out. But that's right on time. That would really help people, man. I'm serious. That would really help people. So that's number two. Being agile, having agility. Is number two. Let me put this on the Ustream for the people too. I'm sorry, Ustream. I'm sorry. Did we get an email too? Did we get an email, Tanya? Can you check? See, did we get an email? Because my email is acting up. I saw it on my phone, but I don't see it on the computer. Oh, it's an email. Let me read the email. Cause I'm like, I'll let you know my email. Ignore my email, people. Priscilla McCurdy says, this is back to the earlier part of the show. I was talking about the speaker at my church yesterday, Marcy Storrs Wilson. She says, I thought she did an amazing job. She says, I was deeply moved by her message. Those three characteristics, produce, empower, and deeply rooted, were on point with me. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for that email. That's my other mama, y'all, wrote that email in here. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go, y'all. Number three. Number three says this. Number three says, we're talking about five qualities of a small church. Number three says this. Intimacy. Intimacy. Yeah. Intimacy. The writer says this. This is one of the most common things that people love about small churches. The closeness, connection, and fellowship are fantastic. It helps people feel at home and cared for in your church. Enjoy all that this brings. The writer says, it can, however, be a two-edged sword. So keep a keen leadership eye towards balance between intimacy and inviting new people. Uh-oh. He says, as long as you genuinely welcome new people, this sense of closeness is one of the best things you have going. Encourage your congregation to make friends in the community and invite them to church. Don't make inviting a program for a special big day, but encourage it as a lifestyle. Uh-oh. Let me read that part again. Don't make inviting a program for a special big day, but encourage it as a lifestyle, meaning Family and Friends Day shouldn't be the only day that you invite people to your church. See, I told y'all this. I've said this before. See, this is how I know God has confirmed everything that I do and say. Because these people that are writing these articles, I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. I just read, and they confirm things that I have been saying for all of my time in ministry. For the short time I've been in ministry, all of these people, God has used them to confirm what I've been saying all these years. Because here's the deal. See, Family and Friends Day, you're on your best behavior. You done cleaned up, you done dusted, you done wiped down, you done did all this stuff. Of course you want company to come over. But can I come over third Sunday when ain't nothing planned? Can I come over third Sunday when y'all ain't cooking the dinner in between services? Can I come over on fourth Sunday, you know, when that part of the calendar is blank, and show up and get the same treatment that I got on Family and Friends Day? See, when you talk about intimacy, when you talk about having a close-knit group, see, it's easy to be friendly when you have guests. But how friendly are you towards one another when the guests leave? How friendly are you? Or do you go back to whispering? Do you go back to, did you see what she had on? Do you go back to, I can't stand her? Do you go back to, I wish he would go somewhere else? Is that what you go back to after the great day? See what I'm saying? True intimacy lasts. It's like Valentine's Day. It's like, you know, wedding anniversaries. It's like if you don't do nothing all year long. Like, you know, I know people, if you don't do nothing, if you do stuff all the time, if you constantly are going out on dates and doing stuff and doing all that stuff, then when Valentine's Day comes, it ain't no big deal. Because, see, it's a bad deal if you go out on Valentine's Day and you do this whole extravagant thing, and then next week, everybody go back to their room. You go back over there, I'm going to go back over here. You watch TV in there, I'm going to watch TV in here. You go eat over there, I'm going to go eat over here. There's no intimacy in that. But when you do it all year long, now it's like, man, it becomes the norm. And watch this, then the norm becomes the culture. See, what would happen if Family and Friends Day, if all of the effort we put into Family and Friends Day, Men's Day, Women's Day, if all of the effort we put into those things became the culture of the church? See, right now they're just atmospheric, meaning it's just for a time. See, right now, Men's Day, Women's Day, Family and Friends Day, Church Anniversary, those things are atmospheric, meaning they just come in and it's a passing meteorological event. It's not the standard. But when those things that you do on those days become the standard, you make it the standard to have greeters at the door every Sunday. Oh my God. You make it a standard to be in the choir stand on time every Sunday. Uh-oh. You make it a standard to have your people and your deacons where they're supposed to be on time. Uh-oh. Now that becomes the culture of the church and not an anomaly in the church. I just helped somebody. If it wasn't nobody but myself. Right. How am I with Facebook Live turned off? Just like this. Just like this, Felicia. Just like this. Look, and y'all get the calm version on Facebook Live. This is the calm version. This is the calm version. This is calm for me right here. There is another level that, yeah, but this is the calm version because I got to be around people and I don't want to, you know. Because people will take me, Felicia, I talk to you. People will take this and because of what I'm reading and because I'm stating fact and whatever, people take this as arrogance. See, people take this as, oh, he's so arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I know what the Word of God says. So it's not about being arrogant. The question is, and I look at it this way too. The only people that feel that way, and this is just me, I could be completely wrong, but the only people that feel that way are their toes are the ones being stepped on. So of course they're gonna have a problem with it. Of course they're gonna have a problem with it. So I'm just saying. But intimacy, y'all, intimacy. That was number three. Thank you, Felicia, for the compliment. Thank you. But I'm just saying, man, it's one of those things where I just think we as a church need to practice on that. This word called intimacy and make that a part of the lifestyle and not just for events. Amen. Let's keep going, y'all. That was number three. Number three was intimacy. Let's go. Come on, where's the rest of this at? All right, come on. And then number four, we good, y'all. We on time today. Bless the Lord. Number four says this: seeds, S-E-E-D-S, seeds. Number four says this. What's up, Hell Blue? What's going on, Hell Blue? What's going on, Hell Blue? Oh boy, let's go. Number four says this. He says, seeds. The writer says, he says, to grow and multiply your ministry, it is important to be sowers of seeds. He says there are many kinds of seeds to sow. Love, kindness, compassion are one group of seeds that return great dividends in time. He says generosity and encouragement are similar. Then he says, which of these seeds are you good at and which do you need to add? Then he says, another kind of seed comes from thinking big and thinking unusually for a small church. He says, for example, would God allow you to raise up several young next generation leaders to send out into pastoral ministry? Perhaps you could send a missionary or even plant a church. He says, planting these kinds of visionary seeds has a way of extending the scope of reach of your church in tremendous ways. He says, in my experience, God always blesses when you give yourselves away. Was this not the message from yesterday? Oh my God. Was this not the message from yesterday? That woman, did she not say the whole purpose of fruit is to grow your fruit so you can give it away, thus giving, making room for more fruit? Oh my God. Confirmation. Jesus, help us right now. Help me right now. Oh my God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah. This is awesome. The writer says this. Literally, she says, God blesses when you give yourself away. What's the purpose? Let me ask you this. What's the purpose of having all of this knowledge we have about church, all of the information we've learned about church, but not to share it with anybody? What purpose does that serve? To have all of the information that we have, all of the knowledge that we've gained, but we don't go out and share it with anybody. And when I say that, I don't mean take it home and share it with your kids, your husband, your spouse, whatever. I mean sharing it, period. No, I know it's hard to go to work and talk about church because that's one of the things you're not supposed to talk about at work is religion and politics. I get that. But you have friends who you don't work with. How often have you shared what you've learned from church? See, I know we have a bad habit of sharing all the bad experiences. But have you shared what you've learned? Because I'll go back to this again. If you've been in church 30, 35 years, and you can't count on one hand how many people you've introduced to the Lord, not brought to your church, then what have you really, what type of seeds have you been sowing? Have you been sowing the kind of seeds that's going to help in each other grow? Or are you sowing seeds of dissent? Are you sowing seeds that can actually feed somebody? Or are you sowing a seed that's going to make somebody sick? Oh my God. Are you sowing a seed that's going to help somebody grow? Or are you sowing a seed to keep somebody on the same level as you? You know, because see, some Christians, help me, Lord, some Christians don't want to see other Christians elevate. Oh my God. See, some Christians, when they see you doing well, mm-hmm, and because they've been in church so much longer than you have, and then here you come all of a sudden sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, and they're out the blue, because it looked like you come out the blue, but had they been paying attention all along, they would have saw the growth. But to them, it's coming out the blue. So because you come out the blue, and because they only knew you from what they used to know from you, when they see you grow, hallelujah, Jesus, when they see you come up, it's like, wait a minute, where the hell did you just come from, and why you think you deserve this? It ain't about what I deserve. It's about what the Lord gave me. Because, see, I don't like the term, you know, you deserve this. Because, see, if God gave us what we deserved, oh, my God. If God gave, if not for Jesus, we would have what we deserved. Oh, my God. Come on. See. Y'all don't make me. I'm trying to remain calm for these. I got 7 minutes. But if God gave us what we deserve, if it wasn't for the blood, oh, God, hallelujah, in here, if it wasn't for the blood, uh-huh, then we would get what we deserve. So I don't like, okay, well, he got that because he deserved. No, I got it because, I got it because of grace. I got it because of favor. Oh, my God, come on, that's real. Pastor Julie Norwood says, in 11 years of serving as a pastor, no one has ever left the church because we weren't reaching enough people for Christ. Amen. They shouldn't. Amen. Because you should always be reaching people and reaching for new people. We should constantly be looking for the unchurched. Amen. So that was number four. Did I post number four? Did I post four? Let me see. Did I post four? I don't know if I did or not. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Yeah, that's four right there. All right. Let me post four over here for the peoples on the stream, on the Ustream. Bless y'all. All right, that's four. Number five. Let's go. We on time. Let's stay on time. Number five. We're talking about five qualities of a small church. Number five is favor. Favor. Woo! He says, God's favor is not reserved for big and powerful churches. In fact, he says, I believe he's looking for humble and available churches. Uh-oh, that's a key word. Humble and available. He says, I believe he's looking for humble and available churches that want to reach spiritually unresolved people and lift up the name of Jesus, regardless of their size. He says, God's favor is indeed a mystery. We can't buy it or get it on demand. Yes, it's not mysterious. We know God wants to bless his church. He says, sometimes it's no more complicated than asking God for his favor upon your church. And other times, it's about patient waiting and continuing to be faithful about doing the right things. There's that consistency word, faithful, consistency, being faithful and consistent in doing the right things, not being consistently bad. Let's move on. He says, God's favor isn't a magic bullet for church growth. It's a divine touch that brings the supernatural into the natural. It provides life-changing and it provides life change and momentum. Favor is as much about grace as it is about kingdom power. Favor is that holy presence that makes hard work turn into fruitful results. And then here's the deal, and this is I think one of the biggest things that we as Christians tend to forget, and we take for granted. We don't recognize the favor that God has on our lives. We don't recognize the favor that God has given us. Grace, but favor. Grace lets you get past all, you know, keep sin and all that stuff and punishment away. That's grace. But favor is you getting the job that you know you shouldn't have got. Favor is them giving you hours that they don't give everybody else. Oh, my God. Favor is them giving you more money than you expected or you thought you deserved. Favor is different. Oh, my God. Help me, Holy. Favor is you getting a car when they said you can't get one. Favor is you getting a house when they said you couldn't get one. Favor is when the doctor said, oh, come on, somebody. Favor is when they said you couldn't, but God said, who the hell are they? Oh, my God. That's favor. And we gotta recognize that I think we miss out sometimes. Woo! That's what favor is. That's what favor is. We gotta recognize that it says, so does this throw away the statement that you have to be in the right church to have favor? No. Don't throw away the statement that you have to be in the right church because watch this. It's a whole lot of folk that don't go to church, but some of them don't recognize the favor over their lives. And what church would do for those who don't have, thank you, Felicia, for your comment because you just took me somewhere. I got 3 minutes. I'm gonna give you 1.5 of these three. People who don't go to church but have favor on their lives, imagine how much greater and much more impact they could have if they went to a church that helped them discover the favor that they had on their lives. If they sat under some teaching that showed them that, hey, you, because see, some folk who got favor, they call it luck. Ah, come on, Holy Ghost. They call it luck. Oh, I was lucky to be there. I was lucky that I had that judge. I was lucky that the judge was a female. I was lucky. No, it was favor. Huh? You don't want to talk about favor? Let me take you back. It was favor when I went to the courtroom and the judge said something about somebody wanting to try to restart a service. And the judge said, hey, Doc, you can get on up out of here. We're going to cancel that. You can go home. That was favor. Hey, Jesus. Hey, 794-62. I'm just trying to help. I got to go, y'all. I got to go. Let us pray. Father God, we bless you right now, God. We thank you. We lift your name right now, God. God, we know that you could do anything but fail, God. So right now, we just thank you right now, God, for favor. We thank you for a unique favor right now, God. We thank you for blessings that you've bestowed on us right now, God. God, we thank you for every listener on Blog Talk Radio, God. We thank you for every watcher on Facebook Live. We thank you for every watcher on Ustream, God. Then, God, we thank you right now for those who watch this program later on and are blessed by it, God. So we thank you right now even for them, God. Then, God, we thank you for the detractors right now, God. We thank you for those who speak against this broadcast, God. We thank you for them, God, because they only cause us to elevate what we do even more in your glorious name. So right now, God, we say we love you, we bless you, and we extol you, and we lift your name on high. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. I got to call my mama. She made me nervous. She said, call me, it's important. So, you know, they just, you know, as she does to me, my blood pressure done went up. So let me call her and see what's going on. let me call her and see what's going on. Y'all be blessed, man. I got to go. TTLO. Peace.
We keep the head
on the swift. Bye, y'all.
Up my cross, it's a daily fight.
Some of us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church, following traditions that no longer work. Steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt. Picking up the cross and taking our limits off. Taking our limits off.